everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Bill in the driver's seat and riding along, well...
Shotgun.
Okay. Tom Fairbanks, engineering.
You got the reins and I got the gun.
Yeah, there you go. I can't imagine a weather forecast this time of year without some chance of thunderstorms. But it does happen. Nothing today in the forecast.
No. Yeah. Do you want to look at it a little bit? Let's see. We might have some rain chances tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's about 10%.
And then over the weekend a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But we're in a pause. And to me, it feels, here we go again, like we are winding down on monsoon 2024. It's Thursday, August 15th, 2024. We begin our 15th year on the radio in January. We come to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. While we're waiting for District 1 Pima County Supervisor Democrat Rex Scott to join us, and he'll be walking in any minute, it will actually give me a chance to read this story, kind of breaking news, that taxpayers were overcharged by at least $200,000 for laundry at the Casa Alita's migrant facility in Tucson. It's according to a really extensive article today in the New Republic, which sheds light on the conflict of interest at the Catholic Community Services that led to the ouster of two employees of the organization in May. At the time, in the statements made to the Green Valley News, the only explanation given was that the employees had violated the procurement process, leading to an overcharge, and that there was no personal relationship between the terminated employees and the vendor. Well, the New Republic reports that the improperly vetted vendor was a laundry company and is owned by the mother of the former executive director of Casa Alita's, one of the terminated employees of the Catholic Community Services. The name of the business, Amato Laundry, was charging rates up to 300 times higher than several comparable laundry facilities here in Tucson. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott just walked in, and he joins me in studio. How are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for this monthly opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
And I did get some, I just got a text from Dan Scheer. He's really all over this story. And he said he just spoke with the CEO of Catholic Community Services, and she said she's unaware of any other infractions, but that they are still checking their records. So they're not clear, according to Dan and the CEO, they're not clear on how much was actually overcharged. And she told Dan that they have a current vendor on board who is charging a lot less, and that started in January. So what can you say about all of this?
Well, Bill, thanks for sending me the link this morning to the New Republic article. I did read it after I received that from you and wanted your listeners to not only be aware of the memorandum that was sent to the board by Ms. Lesher after she became aware of this matter, but also the dialogue that we had the Board of Supervisors had with Ms. Lesher at our last meeting in July, in which she reiterated that the contractor, Catholic Community Services, was dealing with the infractions and sharing all pertinent information with the county. But the issue really is one that our contractor is addressing, and we are being kept up to speed on how they are handling it.
All right. And I assume, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I would assume the county attorney is probably looking at these requests for freedom of information requests that several media sites have put in, and they're going through that to determine what information will be released.
I'm not aware of what role the county attorney is playing in this matter, But I am aware that we had that discussion at our last board meeting in July, in which several supervisors had questions about what the contractor was doing to follow up on the issues that were outlined in even greater detail in the New Republic article.
All right. The heat-related ordinance, is that coming up before the board next week?
It is, yes.
Okay. I have Dr. Cullen as my Friday Focus interview tomorrow.
Great.
So we'll be talking about two major topics, the resurgence of COVID this summer, and also some of her thoughts about this heat-related ordinance.
And, you know, I was reading just yesterday with regard to how people might best protect themselves against COVID. And what I was reading is that it would be advisable to wait until the fall to get boosters, because the boosters that we get in the fall, usually in conjunction with our annual flu vaccines, mm-hmm. are going to be even more protective than anything that people might be able to get now.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to hear what you hear from Dr. Cullen. And then with regard to the heat ordinance, we really feel that it is important for the county to demonstrate what we're going to be doing with our employees, and we've already put some safeguards in place for our employees, and what our expectations are going to be for people who contract with the county to do work on our behalf before we do anything that impacts the private sector. We're also working in concert with OSHA because they are currently considering new federal regulations that would supersede anything that the county might put in place. But we feel it's important to first take care of our own shop before we do anything that would impact the private sector. And if we ever moved in that direction, be assured that we would be working with chambers of commerce, professional associations, labor groups to make sure that anything that we put in place was respectful of what they're already doing mm-hmm. in those various businesses and professions. But we're also waiting to see what happens at the federal level with the new OSHA regulations that are in a public comment period right now.
So will this ordinance is being crafted, or has it already been crafted?
It has been.
Okay.
We've had a draft to consider that was put together by county administration, and we're going to be discussing that on Monday.
All right. I've got so much in my stack of stuff for you. Scott,
we'll get to all of it, Bill.
All right, let's get right at it. And actually, I want to get right into the RTA because
sure,
the clock's running, ticking. You are the representative of Pima County on the 9-member Regional Transportation Board that is working on the RTA Next program. Will there now be a special meeting coming up of the board?
Yes, we just found out this week that we are going to have a special meeting that had been discussed for some time, but it's difficult to coordinate the schedules of 9 very busy people. So we finally landed on the date of September 5th. That's going to be the date for that special meeting. And the whole purpose for this special meeting of the RTA board is to talk about getting a draft plan out for the public review period. And there was a compromise proposal that was put together as the result of staff work done not just by Pima County staff, but also staff from the town of Sahuarita. Our chair of the RTA board, General Maxwell, refined that proposal further to address some of the concerns of the various jurisdictions. And I feel that the scheduling of this special meeting is very promising. It is, to me, a strong indication that we are close to getting to putting a plan out for the public review period. Indeed, if you listen to the comments from board members at our last meeting, you'll certainly see that people are warming to the proposals that have been presented to us. We were supposed to have a meeting on July 25th. And unfortunately, that meeting had to be canceled due to a lack of quorum. You have to have at least five members present for the board to be able to meet, and only four of us were able to attend. Mm.
The draft plan, what would the chronology be if you decide to move ahead with the draft plan?
What it would be is that we would use the rest of 2024 mm-hmm. And the early part of 2025.
For kind of a listening?
Yes. Yeah. If people remember back to the 2006 RTA 1 plan, there was an extensive public comment period. That's what we would do for the rest of 2024 and the early part of 2025. The board could come back and take a look at perhaps making additional revisions to the plan based on what we heard during the public comment period. And then we still have the goal of having a RTA next election in May of 2025.
All right. Other business that was taken care of, we mentioned business coming up with the heat-related ordinance. What's going on with the county's housing commission?
So we formed a regional affordable housing commission, and one of their goals is to engage in some long-term strategic planning to develop a plan to increase not just the stock of affordable housing in our community, but also to find out where we need additional workforce housing. You might think of workforce housing as what people usually look for when they're looking at a first home, mm-hmm. and then market rate housing. And you can't know where you're going unless you know where you are. We do know that there's data from the National Low Income Housing Coalition that tells us that we need right around 26,000 additional units of affordable housing in Pima County, but we don't know everything that we need at every sector of the market. So county administration and the Regional Affordable Housing Commission recommended that we do a market study, and the board approved that recommendation at our meeting on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I was on the prevailing side of that vote.
How many homes did you say we would need?
Well, the national
low-income homes or the starter-up homes?
Yeah. The National Low-Income Housing Coalition mm-hmm. estimates that we need an additional 26,000 units mm. of affordable housing. Mm. That would be housing for low-income folks. Mm-hmm. Workforce housing refers usually to what people are looking at when they're first getting into the housing market. Mm-hmm. And then market-rate housing is exactly what it sounds like, what most people, maybe second or third buyers, are looking at. Mm-hmm. Really, the only area of the market, Bill, mm-hmm. Where we are fine in terms of the available inventory is luxury housing.
Okay.
But with regard,
so if you got money, you're
yeah, you're fine.
You're
but when it comes to affordable, workforce, and market rate housing, you need to know where you are before you determine where you're going. Mm-hmm. And the Regional Affordable Housing Commission is made up of representatives of not just the public sector, but the private sector. You know, one of my appointees is the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, and David Godlewski, who you've had on show several times. Mm-hmm. And I really wish that this market study had been done earlier in the commission's work, mm-hmm. but it's being done now, and I'm glad that the board followed up on recommendations from both the commission and county administration.
Could these be, it doesn't have to be like a freestanding single family home. It could be a condo.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Something that they would, that the home, they'd be a homeowner. They would own the property.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
they wouldn't be renting, in other words.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's pause right here. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, representing the first supervisorial district, which is my home district. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and Zocalo Village.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I want to tell you about tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview. Lots to talk about with Dr. Cullen, who heads up the Pima County Health Department. I'll be anxious to talk to her about this latest surge of COVID and when we'll be getting the booster vaccine. The manufacturers of the vaccine say it's ready to ship. They're just waiting now for the go-ahead from the federal government. Rex Scott is with us, Pima County Supervisor representing District Number 1. And I believe Sharon has called us. Sharon calling on line 1, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Sharon, go ahead. You're with Rex Scott.
Thank you, Bill. Supervisor Scott, my question is about the downtown library, the Valdez Library. I've heard that Pima County is going to relocate the downtown library and that the city is taking over that building. Are there going to be any community meetings or community input for that process? That is the only library for about 27 neighborhoods and barrios, especially with Himmel Park Library getting ready to close for remodeling.
Okay.
Sharon, I appreciate the question. The specific proposal that you refer to has not come before the board. And I can assure you that one of the hallmarks of the library district is that every area of the county have library services, and I'm sure that will always continue to include the downtown. But nothing with regard to closing that facility has been formally presented to the board.
Okay, but there would be community meetings and input about that?
You know, we always want the community to have input into the operations of the library district. There's a library district advisory board. Each supervisor is able to appoint two people to that board, and they meet monthly. I would certainly encourage you to be in contact with the library district so that perhaps you could share your feelings with that board. And I'd also encourage you to be in contact with the clerk of the Board of Supervisors so that your comments can be shared with all the supervisor offices.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Scott, I am on that advisory board, and we heard nothing about it until somebody brought it up at last month's meeting, but it had already been out circulating among staff, and the timeline is rather abrupt, December 2024. So that was why I was hoping there would be, if that's going to be extended to allow for community dialogue.
Yeah, there has not been any formal plan dealing with the Valdez facility presented to the Board of Supervisors.
All right. Thank you, Sharon, for your call. The Board of Supervisors got a report at the last, I think it was the last meeting. Was it last week on the homelessness issue and public safety?
Yes. We are going to be getting monthly updates from Ms. Lesher and her staff on our efforts to address homelessness and public safety. She formed, Ms. Lesher, a specific office addressing those issues back in December of 2023. There is, with regard to the federal funds that come into the region to deal with homelessness, there's a shared responsibility through what's known as the continuum of care between both the county and the city of Tucson. We also have, through the Tucson-Pima Coalition to Prevent Homelessness, a robust role played by private sector providers. And I think what I would have taken away from the discussion were I Ms. Lesher and her staff is that the board is anxious to see more direct action. We were pleased that the last point in time count showed a reduction in the amount of homeless folks in our region, but it was not a significant reduction. And I think what the public is expecting and what the board is expecting is that we're working in partnership with the other jurisdictions and the private sector to deal with this problem, not only in terms of making sure that there's adequate shelter services, but also making sure that the wraparound services that get to the root causes of homelessness for each individual, for each family, are being addressed.
The Supreme Court looked at the Grants Pass, Oregon decision. That Grants Pass, for folks that don't know, is a suburb of Medford, Oregon. I've actually been through that area. And basically, they said that each jurisdiction in the United States can make their own decision on whether homelessness is a crime in the United States.
So nobody in Pima County is interested in criminalizing homelessness. That would not be anybody's desire or approach. But there really is a significant issue, Bill, when you're dealing with people in the homeless community who both refuse shelter and refuse services, and their public activities have an impact on public health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need, as all local governments, to be able to address public health and safety. It is our greatest concern, and it is our greatest charge, is to protect public health and safety. And when you have people who are refusing shelter, refusing services, and their activities have an impact on public health and safety, including enjoying public accommodations such as our parks, impacting local businesses, that's a segment of the homeless community that we need to be able to respond to. I don't agree with every component of the Grants Pass decision, but I do agree that it gives local governments some latitude that we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, Supervisor Scott, how many, just percentage-wise, your gut feeling that of the homeless population, the unsheltered population, do refuse any kind of service and just say, look, leave me alone, I'm fine.
I don't know that we have an exact percentage or mm-hmm. number mm-hmm. of the homeless population where we could say that they're part of that group, Bill. Mm-hmm. But I do know that since the onset of the fentanyl crisis, mm-hmm. that problem is becoming all the more acute. And when you have people saying, this is impacting my neighborhood, this is impacting my ability to use the park that my family and I would like to go to, this is impacting the operation of my business, we have to be responsive to that. Yeah. Nobody wants to criminalize homelessness. That's not going to help us deal with this issue. But we do have to make the protection of public health and safety our highest priority.
All righty, Rex Scott, thank you. Hope you have a great rest of the day and a great weekend.
Bill, thank you very much. Same to you and your listeners.
Thank you. We'll take a break right here. Coming up, Tucson's got a birthday bash coming up in a couple of days. Historian Ken Scoville will be on the live line. We'll talk with Ken. And then looking ahead, there's a big event even next year about Tucson's history right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, perfect time of year to get over there and take care of, well, replenish your garden after the monsoon was pretty punishing in some areas. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. When we do our live line, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tucson's got a big birthday celebration. Ken Scoville, our contributor on Tucson History, is on the live line. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine today. It was a little cooler in the mornings out walking, so... Or maybe we're over the hump a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of feel a change is in the air. So the event celebrating the Tucson's birthday event is actually going to be Saturday, August 17th, to celebrate the August 20th, 1775 founding of the Presidio and the formal anniversary date for the city of Tucson. So we've moved it up a couple of days just for the weekend.
Yeah, just for scheduling in the weekend. And it's quite a big event this Saturday. Again, the Presidio Museum at Church in Washington, it will open at 6 p.m. and go to about 8:45 or so, maybe to 9. And they've got all kinds of music performances, mariachi. Then there's going to be the Yaqui Deer Dancers. They're always going to have to fire the muskets, maybe even a cannon possibly. So, but there'll be music at all kinds of events, and this is 249 leading up to 250. One of the great things, I think, about this, and this has been new in the last couple of years, they have all the cultural resources, people in southern Arizona from El Presidio neighborhood, the Fort Lowell Cavalry, Buffalo Soldiers of Southern Arizona, the Presidio Museum, Mission Gardens. They will all have representatives there doing simulations and crafts and other things. So if you have any interest at all about cultural things in Tucson, it's just a wonderful event this Saturday.
And we're setting up, so this is the 249th year of celebrating the European founding, because the city...
Right. It's, yeah. It's essentially, we sort of folded everything together that we're acknowledging the formal foundation of what Tucson and everything would be built on what we now today call downtown Tucson. But it's also, and one of their flyers says, all things Tucson. So it's the whole heritage of Native people living along the Santa Cruz for thousands of years. So it's a blended celebration of all of that.
Ken, I'm going to move on a little bit to next year. So that would be the 250th celebration, which would be a very big deal. What are you hearing about that?
Oh, okay, I think the biggest thing is, and you know, the nature in Tucson, we always sometimes get behind on planning, but they have a wonderful website already done. It's called www.celebratetucson.com, and you can also access that through the Presidio Museum. And when you bring it up, it has a main calendar for everybody in the community that's a cultural, historical, everything, the Desert Museum, any place where we have something that makes it uniquely in our culture and preservation in Tucson. And you can go in there and people can actually schedule an event that they would like to promote. So there's a total overall website for a calendar of events starting really right after the celebration this Saturday, all building to our 250th.
Well, I'm going to ask Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who's with me in studio, and then I'm going to go back to you, Ken, about what you think would be appropriate for the 250th anniversary. Councilman Cunningham, good to see you. What do you think would be appropriate?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Ken for all the work he does historically with Tucson. He's probably one of the most foremost Tucson historians, and it's an honor to be on the radio with you.
Okay.
So
thank you.
One of the things that I'd want to mention is that we have this amazing part of four or five different cultures that converge with Tucson, and incorporating all of them is one of the things we pride ourselves with Tucson's birthday every year. The 250th should be one of our biggest celebrations. I think we're going to look towards some of our tribal partners and how we can celebrate with them. I think we're going to look at maybe taking a look at Hugo O'Connor, and he was the Irish mercenary, I think, under the flag of Spain, but he was born in Dublin, and how that incorporates into some of our heritage, and then some of our heritage from that period pre-World War II, but post-Civil War. And I think I think each of those sections, Tucson has really unique history, and it's one of the reasons why our community is so vibrant. So I defer to the experts, but for next year, I really hope we can bring together a celebration that Tucson is deserving of and is really special.
What do you think, Ken? What are you kind of envisioning, or what would you like to see? Not just one day, but a spread out, maybe over the whole year.
Yes, I guess I have a larger vision. Instead of just doing one big, huge 2 or 3 day event, which they actually did for Tucson's bicentennial, and then would lead into the bicentennial of the nation. But what I'd like to see in this calendar they've set up, that all these organizations, everybody that's doing different events throughout the year, so people can select and plan and even set up an event on this calendar, that they can use that. So just a year long to be thinking about. We always like to celebrate milestones, 100, 200, 250th. But think about all the things that make Tucson a unique place to live. The other thing that I would hope, and they did this for the 200th, and we actually did it for the 2020, the 200th birthday. I'm getting confused, but I'd like to see us do a poster that would be celebrating the 250th.
I agree.
But just all things throughout the whole year, but a nice poster would be a great thing.
Hey, Ken, do you think if we had like a branding like Tucson 250 or something, and we branded it as Tucson 250, and we could have some type of like oversight, loosely based group or collaborative that would kind of sanction different events throughout the city, and we did that over the year's time, would that be something that could help us?
Yes. In fact, the Presidio Museum has already set up a website. It says commemorating Tucson 250. So this is already put on, and it's set up for other organizations to actually plug in an event they want. So that's one thing. The Presidio Museum and a group of partners have already got together and put that together. So it's really trying to get the word out to all these organizations all throughout Tucson, anything that's added to our culture and heritage. Get your event planned on there and scheduled so people can go on to this master schedule throughout Tucson. I've also worked with Visit Tucson, and there's going to be a big article through and promotion through the tourism aspect for Tucson also.
Ken, while we have you, we had a question from a listener about Hugo O'Connor. Listener wondering, has anyone written a history of the Irish in Mexico? And I'll note that I did read a book, and I can't think of the name of it. The Irish were mercenaries in the Mexican War with the United States in 1848, and actually fought on the side of Mexico. But that's the only book I know of about the Irish in Mexico. Perhaps you know.
Well, I don't know offhand. There's been a wonderful book written about Hugo O'Connor that's by one of the gentlemen at the Arizona Historical Society. But I would just have anybody that's curious about that, I would call the Arizona Historical Society, the research library, and they would be able to be a specific reference to tell you what's out there.
Okay, and we have another listener who wants to know about the Confederate flag. Is that still flown during the birthday celebration, Ken, or Councilman, do you know? Ken, do you know?
I know. It's been retired. Oh, in fact, for years, everybody used to do a flag celebration. It used to be at Vente D'Agosto Park between Broadway and Congress Street. And then when I moved to Presidio, that sort of faded away with the flags, and they wanted to make it a bigger event. And even though that was a positive outcome, that was a difficult time in Tucson's history because people were either for the Union or for the Confederacy, and some people left Tucson. Esteban Ochoa was famous for riding on horseback and said, I'd rather face the Apaches than deal with the Confederacy. So that was a turbulent time, but we rallied and became part of the Union and stronger after that event.
A listener also pointed out the name of the Irish battalion that fought in the 1848 U.S.-Mexico War was the San Patrico, I guess I mispronounced it, battalion, which in Spanish would be St. Patrick Battalion.
Oh, Battalion San Patricio.
There you go. There you go, Paul Cunningham. Okay, Ken, Before we let you go, again, where can people go for the information about the starting the planning of 2025?
Well, you just go to the Presidio Museum website, and they have a separate link that says check out www.celebratetucson.com. So all organizations, they can go there and list events, and we'll be doing more promotion throughout the year. But for anybody in the community that wants to start planning to enjoy all the things that make Tucson a unique place to live.
All right. And this event for the 249th is actually coming up Saturday, August 17th. And that will be after things cool off, presumably, right? 6 o'clock in the evening.
Sure, hopefully. Maybe even a light rain shower, not get rained out.
There you go. Okay, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for helping us today.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ken Scoville, the Buckmaster Show historian. And I'm going to ask Paul Cunningham to stick around for our final segment because I want him to kind of react to the news that Rex Scott told us about in our first segment about the RTA. There's a special meeting coming up in early September. I want to hear about Councilman Cunningham's take on what's going on there. So let's take a break right here. Buckmaster continues on a Thursday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown. Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, Dr. Cullen, Pima County Health Director, our Friday Focus interview. We send a lot of listeners, and rightly so, to Silver City. It's a great place to cool off. 3-hour drive east of Tucson, low 90s for the high today. So we usually say it's about 10 degrees cooler. Over in Silver City, start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Lots to do over there, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and just hanging out in historic Silver City. Again, their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Thanks to historian Ken Scoville for joining us on the live line. And we had a call during the break. Several people actually have called. Where is the celebration? Okay. It's Saturday, this Saturday, the 17th, at the Presidio Museum, 6 to 10 in the evening. It's free. And the Presidio Museum is at 196 North Court Avenue. Paul Cunningham sticks around, Tucson City Councilman. Some good information from Ken, and I think that would be great. Have a special kind of poster acknowledging the 250th anniversary of the city, and really kind of maybe a monthly event for the whole year.
Yeah, I think that's an outstanding idea, and I think it's a milestone for all communities. It's neat that our 250th, the culmination of our 250th starts pretty much the one-year countdown to the nation's. So I think there's a lot of cool things that are working in there, and I can't wait to kind of roll up my sleeves and figure out what we can do to make it something special for Tucson that goes on this entire year.
Okay, the library district, folks on the district, because someone actually called us during the interview with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, that they know the word is already out that the county is planning to close the main library. This hasn't really been widely circulated, this news. But let me ask you, it's kind of a interesting arrangement. The library sits on city-owned land.
Right. And so, but we have that agreement that they own the libraries and they've operated the libraries. So I've got to do a little more research to figure out kind of what that plan is. I'm sure it's going to be collaborative, but I just don't have that information available. I'll definitely take a deep dive into it.
All right. What about the RTA Next program? What can you tell us?
So there's some neat things that Mr. Ortega and the mayor negotiated over the last few months that make it a much more promising thing. I've been on this show several times saying that if I didn't feel it was going to be a good deal for the city, or if it was going to be something that wasn't worthwhile, that I'd be happy to walk away. Well, right now, I'm very reticent to do that. I think right now, what's kind of being circulated, this kind of last version, mm-hmm. really kind of finds the compromises and meets the needs.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard about this, and I think the listeners as well. There is some kind of a compromise in the works here.
Yeah, so it has some of the arterial rehabilitation pieces that we wanted. It has some contingency money that is set out. It's got the safety money. It's got some ADA things. It picks up some of the projects we lost on the first one. I mean, it punches all the check marks. It punches all the punches in the punch card. So for me, I think we're on the right track.
This is the first time I have talked to you and heard some firm optimism in your voice about this.
I'm really excited about it. I can't believe that first of all, to Carolyn Campbell and to Ted Maxwell and the rest of that group, congratulations on like listening to folks and just kind of getting it right. The percentages to the cities, I mean, all the things kind of hit the mark where we're gonna, it should work out. There's a weird piece to it with the optimistic and pessimistic excess revenues, and that the excess revenues, the first group of them, some $190 million goes to the city, which I think is such a, it's a very creative idea. That's got Mike Ortega's hands all over it, but I'm sure the mayor had some work in it. So I think there's some good pieces to this once it hits the public. I think people are still kind of chopping it around and making sure. So I don't want to spill too many beans, but I think right now it is where it's in a spot that I can jump on board. I think this has got, you're never going to get to 100% perfect, and there's always going to be a couple poison pills for this person, that person, but remember all the things that are coming good out of this. So I think there's a real opportunity to develop and put forth a package to the voters that is both responsible and also meets our needs over the next 20 years.
Well, this is the first I've heard about this, and it sounds positive as far as maybe moving forward and get the timeline going here, because they would like to put this to the voters in May of next year, but there would still be presumably several months of public input in this.
Absolutely. And yeah, we want to be as transparent as possible. I don't think anybody's trying to you've got to take the good with the bad. Yes, we lost a couple projects at the end of RTA, but there were a lot of real projects that a lot of folks who live in different areas of the county and our community are really grateful for. So this is one of those things where, it's constantly evolving, and it's constantly, the discussions are constantly moving forward, or sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. But no matter, despite all that, at this point in time, as of today, a few days before our 249th birthday, I'm very optimistic that we've got something that I can go to the voters with a straight face and say, yeah, this is actually most of what we're looking for.
Okay, there you go. There's the headline out of today's Buckmaster Show. So how are you doing personally not teaching? This is the first time in how many years that you have not been in front of children a classroom?
So I am teaching one period a day.
Oh, you are teaching.
But
okay.
one period a day. As I said, I just didn't see myself. So I ended up, I'm at a local high school, and I'm just kind of helping out the strength and conditioning program.
Oh.
They may end up expanding best positions hours, in which case I won't be able to do that. But for now, it's a nice little spot, very modest. In the meantime, yes, having a lot more time to concentrate on the needs of the community and the council, and not running all over town all the time and always thinking you're late, is definitely from just a personal standpoint, a lot better. I think that I've been able to be more hands-on on a few of the things that we've been doing in Ward 2. We just finished the Fort Lowell splash pad. We're finishing up the Jesse Owens splash pad. Every major park in Ward 2 now has a splash pad. The next goal is to get the first water slide built out there, increase some of those aquatic numbers. We are about to close down Palo Verde Park. It's going to get the same type of makeover we gave Jesse Owens Park a few years ago. We're going to add some soccer fields. I'm just excited of all the things we're doing, as well as we just finished Vista del Rio, their road project, where we're finishing it up. We're in the midst of that, and then it's on to Rolling Hills, and then after that, I think, is Palo Verde Park Neighborhoods Association. Yes, I actually have the neighborhoods in order of the roads we're redoing.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about what's going on for us out east. We're going to keep working on some of the bigger problems and the littler problems. And just every single day, I feel like Tucson's just getting to be a better place, and it's the place I love.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul Cunningham, for coming in. Talk to you soon, okay?
You got it.
All right. On behalf of Councilman Cunningham and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.